Shalom Chaverim. Baruch haba lechol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, Avraham Ibn Ezra remarks that the number seven, which plays a prominent part in biblical institutions, is enveloped in mystery which only a few can understand. Sometimes this interesting pattern of seven is surface seen, patent and obvious, because of specific mention, such as the seven altars, the seven bullocks, and the seven rams, figuring in those two remarkable chapters of Scripture dealing with the equally remarkable personage known as Balaam, the son of Beor. Sometimes, however, this same pattern of seven is not so readily discernible, but lies buried beneath the surface, like some hidden treasure, intentionally concealed, as a special reward for those whose interest and appreciation merits its unstinted bestowal. Such, for instance, is the sevenfold repetition of the phrase that introduces the seven Mishalim, or parables, of that heathen prophet, Balaam, the swallower of a nation, the son of a blaze. Seven times we read of Bilam, Balaam, that he took up his parable and said. What this Mesopotamian diviner and seer said may have had neither interest nor consequence for us, were it not for the singular circumstances and prophetic portent of his utterances. However, just as the sevenfold fact of his parables will disclose itself only to search motivated by interest, so too the stupendous verities contained in those parables lies buried to human neglect and indifference, and will only yield their reward to those whose hearts are tuned to learn their secret. The human mind, facing the manifold enigmas of human history, and how many there are, will abdicate the throne of enlightenment if it turns from acceptance of the declaration of divine revelation to chase the ever-elusive will-of-the-wisp of chameleonic human opinion released on its restless flight by a declaration of independence against divine enlightenment. I have a calm conviction, born of a cold intelligence, that in the Holy Scriptures of both the Tanakh and the New Testament, we have a divine revelation which it is folly and loss to ignore. Allow these parables of a Gentile Aramean, a non-Israelite, indeed one possibly hostile to Israel, to serve as an illustration. Consider first the singular circumstances of the situation. This Balaam was a most unworthy man. Religion became his business instead of his balm. Of him the New Testament says that he fell in love with the prophets of wrongdoing, and mercenary motives moved him to madness. His madness consisted in his willingness to explore the possibilities of employing whatever powers he possessed to curse the people of Israel. To pursue the course of a curse on Israel is always madness, whether it be manifested by a Gentile prophet of antiquity or a Gentile pervert of our modern days. The madness lies in the folly of facing against the stream of God's revealed attitude towards and intent in Israel's 12 tribes, known today correctly as the Jewish people. Balaam, because of his move towards folly, was made the subject of a special divine attention. As a man puts a bit in the mouth of a beast and makes it go in what direction he desires, so the Eternal pricked Balaam's mouth and made his tongue the outlet of matter and material of such import that it challenges the attention and respect of all men everywhere at all times. Balaam's first parable, found at Numbers chapter 23 and verse 7, propounds a question it would be well if every individual and every nation pondered very carefully, even in these present days in which we live. Here is the question. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? It had been well for the world in general, and for the pertinent individual in particular, if such anti-Semites as Torquemada, Stalin, and Hitler had heeded such a question. Darkness and devilry may move to curse, but light and love will flow with the tide of God's declared and prophesied beneficent intent towards and through the dust of Jacob, the stock of Israel. Balaam's first parable, forced through his unwilling lips by the power of the Spirit of God, reveals the unique status divinely bestowed upon the Jewish people as a national entity. Henam Levadad Yishkon Uvagoyim Lo Yitashev. Lo, it is a people that shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. How significant that the prophet's words not only declare a divine decree involving the purpose, preservation, and perpetuity of the Jewish nation, but, in addition, this Gentile prophet was himself an animated parable, confirming the very words he was forced to utter. The name Balaam can, in the Hebrew, have the meaning the swallower of a nation. And in his heart, there surely could be found the intent of willingness to swallow up Israel in a curse. Yet, this Gentile is divinely constrained to bless where he would otherwise curse. Years later, General Joshua, Moses' successor, declares, Ka Amar Adonai Elohai Yisrael, thus saith Yehovah, the gods, for the word is plural, of Israel. And in using these words, he stands before the people as the mouthpiece of the Eternal, and continues. Then Balak sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you, but I would not hearken to Balaam. Therefore he even blessed you. Thus I delivered you out of his hand. That is the end of the quotation. I am reminded of what I believe to be a yet unfulfilled prophecy of Zephaniah, regarding this same people whom God views in position and purpose distinct from other peoples. Here is Zephaniah's prophecy. For I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth. My friends, anti-Semites are always a menace to their own nations and peoples, and invariably bring loss and disadvantage even upon others who do not share or are indifferent to their venomous views. The ancient anti-Semites, Balak and Balaam, were no exception, and the divine decree goes forth, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the assembly of the Eternal. Even to the tenth generation shall none of them enter into the assembly of the Eternal forever, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor from Petor of Aram-Naharaim to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Eternal thy gods, Jehovah Eloheicha, would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Eternal thy gods turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Eternal thy gods loved thee. We are all familiar with the great New Testament declaration that God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son so that anyone who trusts in him may never perish but have eternal life. Yet, my friends, there is a blatant minority whose actions and attitude toward the Jewish people is such as would consign them to dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations sharing in this divine love. But let it be remembered that it was divine love for Israel that reversed the curses of Balaam. The pristine divine revelation declares, and here I quote from Deuteronomy chapter 23, "When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, he set the borders of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the portion of the Eternal is his people, Jacob, the lot of his inheritance." It is that same undying love for Israel that has set the Jewish people aside and preserved them from a national assimilation among the Gentile nations, in order that, in the end of this present dispensation, this same Jewish nation will fulfill its prophetic destiny of being a channel of divine blessing to those very same Gentile nations. No wonder Balaam concludes his first parable with a desire to be like Israel when he cries, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let mine end be like his." Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'naveilecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'naveilecha, v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.